here, and as Elizabeth said, this is more the work of Jürgen Richter-Gilbert than it is mine. But we will speak about 10 points being on a cubic. So as an overview of what's going to happen, we will have a look on the case of conics again. So take a point in the projective plane given by its homogeneous coordinates, then the equation for it being on a conic is that it fulfills this linear condition on the variables of the conic. So since we have six variables, four points lying on a conic determine a conic like this. Yeah. But now a special position is if six points lie on a conic, so they have to fulfill this equation all in one, which is equivalent to this determinant vanishing. So this is a condition for six point lying on a conic, but it is a polynomial in coordinates. It's not an invariant theoretic expression. So how can we find an invariant theoretic one? Well, one way to think about it is, first label the points, and then we think about the conics passing through four of the six points. There are three degenerate ones among them, and it is clear that the linear combination of those given by these equations is also a conic through the given four points. Here the point x is a running variable, and even two of them generate the space of all conics through the four points. So what about six points lying on a conic? Well, they shall both fulfill this equation, and so we have to be able to resolve for mu and lambda simultaneously, which corresponds to this determinant vanishing. If we expand the determinant, we get this well-known equation for six points lying on a conic, and this is a polynomial in determinants, which we are looking for. But, so to say, this representation is not unique, because we have syzygies in the bracket ring. So, for example, this one here would be another representation for the condition of six points lying on a conic, and this is where the problem starts in degree three. So what about degree three now? Well, what will we expect? We will have a big bracket polynomial with many summons, monomial, and for degree three, we have to look at the cubed coordinates, and there are 10 of them. So this is a condition for 10 points lying on the cubic in coordinates. How do we expect to be the polynomial in brackets? Well, we have 10 points. All of them shall occur three times. So we have in total 30 letters, and each bracket has three of them. So we expect this polynomial to have 10 brackets per monomial. Yeah, and the way we track this, I go one step behind. Where did this came from? There are many emails on this subject here, which is this point here, Cayley-Bacharach point, where we have the theorem that any cubic which passes through the given 8 points also passes through a specific 9th point. Jürgen wanted to write an applet about this to visualize it, and so he wanted to have a nice formula. So afterwards we had a lot of emails between Jürgen and Jim Blin, which comes into play. And then Jürgen came up with a solution, and he used resultants. We will not go into this. Jim replied, well, he had another solution, and in fact this leads in the end to the Cayley-Bacharach point, but the first five steps we will use now for the bracket condition for 10 points being on the cubic. So what does he do? He starts with 6 points, considerates 4 of the 15 degenerate ones, and so on. We will do this now in detail. So here's the first degenerate cubic through 6 points, second, third, fourth, and the equation belonging to it with x as running variable. So in fact, these 4 cubics now span the space of all cubics through the given 6 points. So we have this general linear combination, and the condition for such a cubic also to pass through 4 additional points is that we can resolve for the linear factors, which is this determinant. Yeah, if you look at it closely, and if you expand this, you have 4 factorial 24 summons. Each of it has 3 brackets, and this now is not good. We expect it to have 10 brackets per monomial, which is indeed the case because we are cubic in x, y, z, and w, but in fact quartic in one and in the given 6 points here. As we go to the diagonal, for example, we have 1, 4 times. Expanded, it looks like this. It's very symmetric. Yeah, but it's not what we're looking for. So Jürgen used Cinderella to make an experiment. And what did he do? Well, he used this thing. One more. Yeah, this expression just calculated and took 1 as a running variable. He let it go through all the planes, evaluated this expression, and printed the point gray or white, depending on the sign of this expression. So now the boundary here gives us the curve this represents when we let 1 be the running variable. This now looks quite neat because it looks like we have 1 component which is a line through the points 2 and 3. So 1 and 1 was the running variable. In the next step, he let 3 be the running variable, and again we get a line through 1 and 2 as one component. And in the next case, we have the same play for 2 and same game, and a line through 1 and 3. So it seems likely that we can factor out a bracket 1, 2, 3. And for symmetry reasons, also a bracket 4, 5, 6. And this rest, which is left there, is now the expression we are looking for. But one comment should be made. Well, this works only for a particular choice of the 4 initial degenerate cubics. So it's not so fast to get there. Yeah, and the rest of the talk will be about what could this expression in parentheses be. Well, we will give 2 answers. One will give a nice but very, very big polynomial, and the other one a small but ugly polynomial. The first one is just obtained by a brave guess, which we will see, and the other one by factorizing Blinn's determinant. We will start with the first one. So, again, 1 monomial, 10 brackets, 3 points, each point 3 times. For example, this one. You could check it. Perhaps it helps that this is the combinatorics of a Desargues configuration. So each bracket is 1 line in the Desargues configuration. And this was an idea which... Why should we take Desargues? Well, first of all, we are geometers and like things like that occurring in other places, so this is wishful thinking. It'd be a symmetry. Every point is treated in the same way. And it is, in fact, a generalization of the case of conics. If we look at this again, and we take the brackets to be lines, this gives the incomplete quadrilateral. And this is the complete intersection of 5 planes in space. So we now cared about one monomial, one summand in the expression, but how many desires and which ones should we take to form a bracket polynomial? Well, there are 10 factorial many different labelings, but also 5 factorial automorphisms. So in total, we have the quotient of both as essentially different labelings. And as another possibility to think about it, here the K5, which captures more the combinatorics than the drawing. So here the edges essentially are the points in the left picture, and the lines here in the left picture are triangles here. Yeah, we will come back to this on the very last slide, I think. Well, which desarcs to take? All of them, perhaps. Yeah, we tried this out, put this into Cinderella again, and was a brute force calculation, but it seems good. And after a night, I think, yeah, it's all permutations with the sign appropriately, the sign of the permutation as a factor. And after a night, it looked a little bit better. Well, and he posed several questions to it as well. First of all, why does this work here? This is now understood, and I will tell you this in the next slide. The other next question is, we're convinced to have the desarcs as summands, but perhaps we should take less summands. And this is still an open question, and this was a generalization of the case of conics, so the question is, can we generalize this further? And we think, yes, it can. So, why does this work? Well, take any polynomial which is cubic in every point and antisymmetric. Then replace one of the variables by a running variable, and this defines a cubic curve. On the other hand, if we plug in one of the 9 points, we will get a 0. So we have defined a cubic curve where 9 points lie on, so this has to be the expression. But one has to be careful, again, this polynomial should better not vanish. Okay. With this tool in hand, we can now see that the desarcs approach works. So this is here the summation about all different labelings, 10 factorial many labelings of the desarc, which is, by definition, cubic and antisymmetric. And if you look at it closely, you will see that all the essentially same labelings will contribute with the same sign. So this works. As a side remark, this also tells us that the determinant of cubic coordinates does also work as a characterization of 10 points lying on a cubic. Well, now, is the desarc special? One answer to this is no, it's not. Every other starting summand would work as well after antisymmetrization. And there are many suitable ones. One only has to make sure that the resulting polynomial is non-vanishing. But yes, it is special because, well, here again, the nice symmetry. Among all those starters, the desarcs seems to have the largest automorphism group. Oh, and this results in a small polynomial. But what is still open is are there fewer desarcs which lead to such a nice thing? Because if you plug in points randomly and evaluate this, it seems like this huge expression is exactly 2,522 times the polynomial in coordinates. So perhaps even 12 summons may suffice. Now, the other approach, which leads to the small but ugly polynomial. This one? It is? You can check. How did we get there? We went again to Blinn's formula, which is this one here. And rewrite it by this highlights. So if you choose these cofactors correctly, this is exactly this determinant. And if and this we take the green brackets because all of them have only the points 1, 2, and 3 in common. And it's now it holds what we put in this small lemma, that this can be factored out, this bracket 1, 2, 3, if and only if the determinant consisting of the cofactors vanishes. This is a small linear algebra exercise, as Jürgen put it, but that this holds. But we want to do it, and we want to do it explicitly, and we want to ensure that this determinant does vanish. Yeah. So this is it with the cofactors replaced. This is a bigger linear algebra exercise, but it's quite nice. We can rewrite it this way. We look at a bracket as a scalar product between x and a line. So this is the line, 3, 4. And we put labels L everywhere where we have a 4 in this line, and the G in the other places. So the lines L have the point 4 in common, so they are linearly dependent. So without loss of generality, we can assume that one is the sum of the others. And we can plug this in. Looks like this. And use linearity of scalar product and determinant to get 16 determinants, but most of them vanish. So suppose one does not vanish. So perhaps we take here the G1. Then here we should not have the same column again. So we should not have G1 L1. So L1 is gone. And again, not G1, not L2, and this fits also with the first column. Suppose we had chosen G2, then here not L1, here not G2, not L2, and if you look at this closely, now this column equals exactly this column, and so on, and so on, and so on. So the determinants are essentially the same, differ only by your odd permutation, and the total expression vanishes. So we now know that this factorizes, but how? And this can be made explicitly. You have to apply Grassmann-Plicker relations to each summand, to each monomial. There are no details here, but if you do it in a reasonable way, you will get 1, 2, 3 times something, and here a rest. But this will turn out to be always the same four brackets and the determinant we just calculated. So this is 1. Yeah, we have now interested in this, but we want to factor out as well 4, 5, 6, which we try to do the same. We have here, again, the same brackets. This is ugly, and we were only able to verify that this vanished by Mathematica. So, and the sad thing about it is that in this step, the symmetry is lost. Here, there's a little bit more symmetry, but here the symmetry is lost. We have this bracket polynomial, which has 24 summons, can be reduced to 20 summons by applying Grassmann-Plicker relations. Oh yeah. And as we mentioned before, back to the wishful thinking case, we can generalize the wishful thinking case. How to do it? Well, we want to generalize it to a bracket formula for degree d curves in arbitrary dimension of space. We take a complete graph of n plus d vertices. Here, the case we've seen before. The points now are the n element subgraphs, and the brackets are the n plus 1 element subgraphs. This is, and we do again anti-symmetric summation. Yeah, the non-vanishing part is open. Details on request. The thing is, perhaps it is a rediscovery. We found old papers. This is a famous Turnbull Young paper on 10 points being on a quadratic surface in 3 space. And also this from M. Reis in German on 10 points on a cubic in 2 space, which also leads somehow to 20 summons. But different polynomial with a similar but different results and techniques. Yeah. And I want to end here and thank you for your attention.